We had some record rainfall in 24 hours, and we're still going to talk about water in this next segment, but not so much the rainfall as much as we're talking about water use. Remember last week before I left, I told you that it is a done deal, that Aquarion has officially been sold, ironically, by Eversource. And what is that going to mean for the hundreds of thousands of customers who pay for their water? Well, there was a real bipartisan opposition to this deal. There were a lot of efforts, especially during the legislative session, to reverse legislation that could have blocked this deal from going through, or at least had a little more oversight. And it didn't happen. And, you know, one of the people who I think came out really years ago saying, hey, we really need to be on top of these types of deals, and there are better solutions for who could take ownership of Aquarion, was State Senator Tony Huang in the Fairfield County area. And he joins us in studio about a week after that deal became official. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good morning, Melissa. It is frustrating because so much was left on the table discussion. And when we're talking about water, even though we had this record rain this past couple of days, water is one of the most precious commodities. We can't live without it. It's one that is essential to life. But also it has an important role for these utilities to manage it, because there's so many significant impact: water quality, safety, access to it, as well as kind of the infrastructure that maintains it. Representing Easton, Fairfield, Newtown, and Bethel, they're major reservoirs of water. But one of the most fascinating things about it is the opposition to this.
Yes. I mean, all the way up to the Attorney General. I mean, that's just it.
But it's been universal. Mm-hmm. Westcog, representing multiple towns with Democratic and Republican leaders, all came out in a unified way, as well as MetroCog and Bridgeport in the Fairfield area. They were all unified in a bipartisan collaborative basis and saying, this is a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the first and foremost priority of that is there was a lack of transparency, accountability, and a real sense that the consumers had a viewpoint. And I say that because in 2024, we had a special session.
Mm-hmm.
Where multiple bills were addressed, one of the most important ones addressing motor vehicle taxes.
Yep.
But slipped into that special session by one vote was this sale allowance.
Right.
Because created the legislation and passed it to say that now we can sell a utility to a nonprofit regional authority. We had to statutorily allow that. Mm. Now, it's important to know that because we had an overwhelming bipartisan majority that voted for it, because it was bundle. And you and I have had enough conversations about,
right, like, do you cut your losses? Do you vote yay or nay on
those
massive?
Well, you don't even know the bill.
Right.
That's one of the sad part about this is a lack of transparency. We've talked about this many years about omnibus budget bills, where it comes out in the middle of the night and there's 900 to 1,000 pages, and no one reads it.
Mm-hmm.
And by one vote, you yay or nay.
But, you know, the part that you're talking about in that bill from 2024, Senator Huang, could have been reversed really multiple times. My understanding is that there were efforts, and even to my understanding, I think from Senator Harding, there was a bipartisan effort even during this legislative session to reverse that piece of legislation that passed. And it never happened. In fact, there was bipartisan support, it sounded like, in both the chambers, but the governor never took action on it. It just was not acknowledged, is my understanding, during this session. And then it was kind of like this Hail Mary of, is PURA going to block it? PURA didn't block it. The sale was okay to go through on PURA's account, even though that, too, was kind of a flip-flopper thing as well. Like, there was a lot that happened since June of 2024 where we could have done this better.
Well, I think it comes out for many of the consumers that are directly impacted. They felt as though it was a rigged game, that they never had a chance, that it was the big power brokers that managed the process. From the passage in 24, in Public Act 24-1, that passed without real accountability and transparency. That language got put in days before without review. Now, most of my Senate Republican colleagues opposed and voted against it. But in the House, most of the Republicans and Democrats all supported the bill. The reality was it wasn't real transparency. Now, it's important to understand that as much as we try to overturn it, the legislative wheels just never turned, never addressed it. But the court remand to PURA was based on that legislation.
Right.
PURA rejected the sale at first.
Mm-hmm.
Eversource took it to court, remanded it, and said that legislation guides your governance and you cannot reject it.
Right.
So it's important that the laws that we pass, that we know what we're voting on.
You understand the impact.
Anybody who now opposes it says this is a bad deal, but why did you not vote against it?
Mm.
So it was a point of transparency and accountability that part of the original legislation. We don't always know what we're voting on.
Do you think, though, Senator Huang, because I agree. I think that sometimes you've got these massive bills, and how can you know if 900, 1,000-page bills, there's just no way that even, I mean, the best attorney in the world could know every piece of that language that gets either passed or denied. But do you think there was such support because of the idea of it leaving Eversource? You know, the idea of, look, Eversource is a powerhouse. I feel like even, you know, in layman's terms, people hear Eversource and they think, you know, look at our energy bills. Maybe we don't want them in charge of our water. I mean, could it be as simple as we supported this because we just think a different entity would have done better with Aquarion? Or is that kind of dumbing down a very complex issue that people probably understand better than we give them credit?
I'll simplify it even more, Melissa. At least for me, I understood the issue and I was very acquainted because many of our towns were impacted.
Sure.
But honestly, I think most of our colleagues didn't understand the scope and the impact of that policy change. So they voted for it. And the reality is what we do as a legislative body matters. But let me tell you, let's go back. I mean, it's water under the bridge. As of July 1st, the sale has transacted. I wanted to be able to point out the real concerns that we need now to pay attention to.
And so here we are. Aquarion has been sold. It's no longer being run by Eversource. So what does that mean, Senator Huang? What does that mean for towns, the ones that you're representing? I know, you know, there are even towns, we didn't get to talk about this, but we've discussed it on the show before. Monroe, for example, Terry Rooney, the first selectman there, has made it super clear that at the time, Aquarion was one of their top taxpayers. So that's gone now. And we still don't even know what this is really going to cost ratepayers. I think that's the big unknown.
Well, the municipal leaders like Terry Rooney,
Mark Loretti in Shelton, Bill Gerber when he was alive in Fairfield,
yeah, as well as WestCog representing the municipal governments, were all unified.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the reality: it really is about consumer protection.
Yeah,
when it was a utility governed by Eversource, and even prior to Eversource acquiring it, it was a British utility company. The statute required that you now need to be regulated by the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority for rate setting and governance. So there was an accountability in regards to transparency and governance. What happens now is the Regional Water Authority is going to create a independent entity, but being nonprofit, they no longer have to go through rate review. They will do it on an internal board that in over 30 years, that board has never rejected a rate increase. The other part of it was really the rate increase is predicated on not regulatory review, but that independent board. And so as a nonprofit, it has its own ability without governance oversight like PURA.
Mm.
PURA is no longer involved in any way in the regulation of Aquarion as a water entity affecting many users. The other critical part is, as a nonprofit, municipal taxation. Many of those communities, land owned by Aquarion, is one of the largest landowners.
Right, like Monroe. It's like a million dollars or something that they got yearly. It was
Easton,
something. Yeah.
Easton, Bethel, Newtown, Bridgeport, Fairfield. The reality is now, as a nonprofit, they are not required
to do that,
to pay the taxes.
Right.
Now, obviously, RWA said that it will They will meet that. They will supplement that with state funding and pilot.
I don't even know what that means and how long they can do that, but okay.
But the reality, ultimately, they may have the best of intention, but when you don't have the heavy hand in regards to requirements in statute, they can say, well, you know what? This year's a bad year. We're not going to pay you. So the other part of it is, so the critical part is municipal governance and the governance of how it's run now. PURA is out of the picture. No regulatory review. You're governed by an independent board, which doesn't represent a lot of the communities impacted in southwestern Connecticut. The second part is taxation impact. The third is rate increase review.
Right.
What are you going to say? If they decide to raise rates to the tune of numbers that we are just kind of gobstopped, because you can't stop it.
Well, look at what goes on every single year that we want to, you know, raise the rates of insurance or raise the rates of our energy bill. I mean, at least we know it goes through a review. At least we know that there's representation opposing it. A lot of times, you know, maybe there's a compromise. Maybe things get rejected all out. When that is out of the question, you're talking about waking up one day, looking at your bill and going, how in the world did that happen? And you didn't even have the opportunity to fight it. You just got to pay it. That kind of arrogance, that's the best way I can put it. I don't know how else you can look at a deal like that and not say it's arrogant to just think, okay, well, Connecticut residents, like, sorry, you just got to foot the bill. No one's going to agree with that. I'm sorry.
The affordability factor has been a theme that has been echoed throughout.
Ironically enough.
Mm-hmm. But the equal measure of frustration has been the arrogance and the total monopolistic control of our utilities, UI, Eversource, now Aquarian being switched over to RWA. These are essential elements. We've seen in the power outages how dependent we are on a grid security and restoration of power. These utilities hold incredible power and influence and impact on our daily lives. Mm-hmm. They're indispensable needs.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we see these kind of contrasts, the dichotomy between providing the best service, essential services, because we've given you a monopoly, but at the same time, the profit margins of millions and billions of dollars to Wall Street, executive compensation, and the arrogance, what we've seen in the monopole argument. The reality is these utilities have operated with arrogance, power, and leverage against the consumer. This is another example.
Right.
This sums it up as another example, utilities.
But to some degree, so do lawmakers. I mean, to me, it really, I hate to always go back to something that is near and dear to my heart, but I know how much you understand how much this means to me. It reminds me of the situation in Success Village. You have people who are living in a complex where they couldn't get heat and hot water, and it took a lot of loud voices and actually a court going, hey, there's something wrong here, for basic needs to be addressed. It's like too often Connecticut is becoming the state where we let human life be left in the balance. And I think that is where this goes beyond politics. It goes even beyond just the huge utilities. We had lawmakers saying they wanted to make things more affordable in Connecticut. Yeah, that was the goal on both sides of the aisle this last legislative session. We had efforts of, hey, let's at least reverse this bill that has impacted the sale of Aquarion, and it just didn't happen. We had a governor who just didn't do it. And regardless of the reason for that, how can people in general not feel like their lives are left in the balance? Like, we're just going to pay the bill. We're just going to figure it out. Like, I think Connecticut is nearing more of a mass exodus, honestly. I don't see where we're actually saying and doing the same thing. Like, we want it to be more affordable. But do you, when you have a sale like that go through?
Success Village, as you've been so effective in covering, was a tragedy. But how did it get to that? Because when you have total control over the apparatus of communications, apparatus of power, without subject to scrutiny and transparency, one of the most common things when you see one party control is, hey, nothing to see here. Everything's going fine. And those naysayers, well, they're troublemakers. They're the uprisers, and there should be
dismissed. That's exactly what happened at
the reality is transparency, accountability, freedom of information, and that's why the press is so critical in being that third rail in our democracy. Because otherwise, institutions, you know, my favorite quote in the Senate chambers has always been, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. When you have that kind of empowerment, and that's where the arrogance, the kind of that we know better than you comes into play. And that's perhaps what happened. But another factor beyond the governance and the taxation impact that's not heard a lot about, and it's important to know, is that environmental impact. Our waterways are critical life sources, but they're delicate, fragile ecosystems. We passed legislation that mandated that these water companies remove PFAS from our water sources.
Yeah, sure.
When you're not governed by legislation anymore, what happens to the environmental support of our waterways and impact? So we talked about money, governance, transparency, ratepayers, affordability. That's critical. But another critical element that we need to be sensitive of is the environmental protection and sustainability.
Right, the investment in that.
Aquarian, when it was owned by a British company, was a tremendous partner in environmental waterway advocacy. And we can't lose sight of that. So as much as we say with this deal being done that we need to keep a focus and an accountability and transparency on governance, taxation, rate affordability, we also need to be very conscious about the environmental sustainability.
Yeah.
Our Aspetuck River, Mill River, and all
sure.
the water sources, all we need. We cannot afford to have tragedies like we have in Flint, Michigan, where water becomes tainted, or even in Waterbury.
Yeah, exactly.
Water quality and safety and environmental impact has to be another critical part
yeah.
of the accountability that now has to move forward.
Yeah, a lot that we need to keep an eye on, even though the deal is done. Very well said. Senator Tony Huang, thank you so much for talking us through this. I'm sure we're going to have more conversations about this and much more across the state of Connecticut in the future. Thank you.
Always great to be on with you.